case in 98, 217, State of Ohio versus Scott Husser.
Made this $1,000 for reinstatement. Is that still a civil remedy and not punitive?
Yes, I believe so, Your Honor.
How about $5,000?
Certainly, sir, there's a point at which probably crosses the line, but we're not anywhere near that here.
So it isn't always just because that it's an additional penalty. It isn't, I mean, it's an additional factor. It isn't. That doesn't make it not a penalty necessarily, does it? At some point, it could mature into a penalty.
At some point, but sir, I don't believe we're close to that line of $250. I'd like to point out that in the Hughes case that I referred to, that was a $90,000 penalty in the context of consumer protection fraud. And in the Hudson case, that was a $16,000 penalty, if I remember correctly, in the context of banking fraud. So we submit a $250 fee to regain your license when we're talking about the social cost of drunk driving and the cost of having the kind of education prevention and rehabilitation programs that have to be paid is an eminently reasonable amount and it doesn't come close to the concept of excessive disproportionality that has been concerned from the case.
If your argument is that this, under any circumstances, is not a penalty.
Yes.
Because if it is a penalty, you then run into the jeopardy question, don't you?
The double jeopardy clause opens the Ohio Constitution and the U.S. Constitution only in doesn't fall within the scope of the double jeopardy law. And the correct analysis came under Kennedy v. Martinez. So we first looked to legislative intent. We submitted that here it's quite clear that in the context of the license scheme, a reinstatement duty in civil life, the license is a reasonable judgment of civil law, the license. So we have general assembly's intent, which is a civil matter, and under the preface of the analysis, that civil scheme can't be converted to criminal punishment except on the clear and true. So that language, not clear and true, comes again both from this court in the Hughes case and from the U.S. Supreme Court in the Hudson case. And in this regard, I'd like to point out what I think are
administrative license extension and the reinstate the Gustafson v. Elvis, of course, the administrative license extension must upon conviction was considered double jeopardy and therefore of no effect. I still have a problem in thinking because that the reinstatement of the law of the administrative suspension is so closely tied. I see the two really as one.
But you turn it up to justice, I believe, was that if the law of the suspension itself lasted too long, past the time of criminal sentencing, that would raise a whole problem. But that's not an issue in this case. I think it would be that relevant. We don't have a duration problem or a collection time problem. It's the same $250, regardless of whether the suspension period ends several months before criminal sentencing. That might be the case that there will continue to be a problem.
The suspension is not going to end until that $250 is paid.
No, I don't believe this, but I think the suspension itself ends at the end of the 90 days before the 90-day suspension. And then the driver is in a position there.
As long as they pay the $250.
Exactly, but the $250 has the same remedial purpose. It pays exactly the same amount of money to the various funds, regardless of the relationship between the timing of the suspension and the date of criminal sentencing. It's the same $250, but the same civil remedial purpose.
Assuming that the license suspension is terminated for Augustuson, someone who is driving without having paid the $250 to get their license reinstated, they still drive in a suspension under that. Or would they do? Would they be?
Technically, it would not be under suspension. There's a difference between, in fact, Judge Hoffman, which is defending the opinion, and we believe it's a correct analysis, and points out the fact that the code, and this is 4507.2, has two different subdivisions, one is C and one is D, and the reason for that is there's a difference between driving while you're under suspension. If you're suspended for 90 days, you can't drive, period, even if you start tender, it's $150. Once that 90-day period is over, if you haven't paid the $250, that's a separate problem. That has to do about C instead of D. But
driving
not
with no
under suspension, you have to.
Driving with no license, that's a separate charge. Driving under suspension would be a prosecutor charge.
Right, so the suspension ends at the time limit of the entire 90 days or at the day of the sentencing for government. And so it's the same $250. In fact, I think one way to think about this is that the legislature made the judgment that anybody who fails to breath license test is a danger at the risk and therefore needs to pay the money into the program to fund the education and rehabilitation program. And that civil judgment of the General Assembly kicks in at the moment of the police officer convinced the driver to drop by the test and make a failure. In other words, the civil need for the $250 payment kicks in immediately and drops the money that the campaign for later. The civil purpose is there at the outset, the same civil purpose, regardless of the duration of the suspension.
Mr. Foley, given that argument that the suspension doesn't extend, you know, that the reinstatement fee doesn't extend the ALS suspension, rather that it's over at the time period and the driver has the choice to pay or not pay in terms of reinstating. Given that argument, maybe this isn't related, but Hudson says double jeopardy isn't implicated unless there is multiple punishments in successive proceedings. Do we have successive proceedings here?
I don't believe there are. I think we have one for double jeopardy purposes. I think we have one criminal proceeding. And the administrator's office is separate. That's not the panel, but it's a separate civil proceeding. It doesn't affect double jeopardy.
Well, but the whole argument is double jeopardy, and your response to the Appellee's argument is going right to the, you know, the Mendoza Kennedy, but I'm wondering in terms of Hudson, if you don't even have a threshold question about successive proceedings, given that you say the ALS is not related here. Reinstatement fees or something else, that the ALS has ended. Do we even have successive proceedings?
I'm not sure I'm going to
conclude,
but I do think that if we only have one criminal proceeding, and Hudson clearly supports that, but I think even if you use the analysis of the Kennedy factors prior to the Hudson decision, you reach the same result in the case, because there's no exact disproportionality. So I think that the way I
is that the successive proceeding that Hudson requires, since we have the same, I mean, Ohio and the U.S. is going to look at double jeopardy being triggered in the same way, I would think. I mean, I know in Gustafson we said maybe there was a difference, but given Hudson, it's Scalia who says, you know, multiple punishments don't even matter. It's only multiple prosecutions. But he went along with the majority because he said we get the same result because the majority requires multiple punishments in successive proceedings.
But a civil proceeding does trigger an account as one of the counts. Again, coming back to my account example, the licensing suspension proceeding before an account.
Okay.
Whether it occurs before or after a trial of criminal fraud, it's a separate civil proceeding, but it doesn't trigger double jeopardy whether it comes first or second. It's just outside of double jeopardy.
But shouldn't that be our first argument then, that double jeopardy isn't even implicated here because there aren't successive proceedings as required under the new Hudson?
I'm sorry, and we do make that argument in our briefs as well as the other arguments that
Your red light is on.
Thank you.
Time's up. Thank you. Mr. Kerman?
If we report the government to the council, my name is Joseph Kerman. I'm the attorney for a defendant, the FLE, Scott Upton. Their license suspension is to end as a city government. what the Supreme Court has stated in that even though a case, even though the section may fall as a civil penalty, it may in fact be a criminal penalty instead of punishment. I think here also that because the state is not really a person driving a suspension, that person in fact would be driving a suspension. I've noticed a scenario in my line here that a person who is deductibly silly to a driver in a vehicle, at that point, ALS terminates, at that point, goes under enforced suspension. At that point, that person may opt for occupational driving privileges, which the judge is pre-granted in the first section of the DUI. At that point, the person does refuse to drive under those occupational driving privileges if you drive to court. If subsequently you're stopped by an officer of the law without having first seen the state of the job, that person is subject to driving under special charges.
Counselor, I didn't practice under the $250 reinstatement fee, but I did a lot of that kind of work when your license was suspended and you had to finally, you know, suspension ended, and you had to go back to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles to get your license back. We always had to pay a fee to get it. Is that double jeopardy?
Well, the problem I'm seeing here, Your Honor, is that there's another reason to be the one that's important. So, and the second thing I want to say is that first and foremost, the running of the license suspension, that's my action. And the court already determined that it's a civil action, an administrative action, remedial purpose to get that person off the road and the outcome of the case. And then the person goes to trial, and either found guilty or will plead to it. And at that point.
All right, to that point, there's no fees paid. Okay, because you said another fee, and I want to see where you're going with it.
But at that point, the person is adjudicated or
found guilty.
Found guilty. And after that, then the person has to again pay a fee after that to get a license back.
Well, wait. He's found guilty. He or she is fined, sent to a school or in prison, license suspended. Okay. Now we're to the point where your suspension time ends and it's time to get your license back. That's the fee we're talking about, aren't we? Wasn't there a duplicate $250 fee? And we said something about it, or somebody said something about it, the General Assembly corrected that, didn't they? Isn't there just one payment of the $250 now?
Well, the correction that the General Assembly made, and I don't know if it's because of this particular case, because of but currently I believe there is a $150 in excess of $400 for a person who does commit to a burn plus fail, and then a complete failure is found guilty. At that point, they did a system one speed, like this, maybe because of these cases we have here. But for Mr. Hunter and for the other people in the state of Ohio who did have to pay or felt subject to Yeah, our understanding is that the PO-10 was stating that prior to the release from the court suspension, so as soon as he pled guilty, there was a process that started to come to the court. At that point, he was required to issue his statement, the other one was likely to be no good. He was very selfish in the suspension, under the ALS suspension, that is.
So he had his license back? He paid the fee and got his license back?
Now he should, because this has been doubled.
So he's seeking what, reimbursement here? Or? Let me ask you, you've argued that one of the defects here is that the use to which the $250 is put or applied. And that it goes to the driver's alcohol treatment, the driver's speech intervention fund, and so forth, it's various funds. And that it should have gone to, I guess, pay for the bureaucracy and the motor vehicles to process that one's license. If the purpose of ALS is to remove intoxicated drivers from the road, why is not a legitimate purpose for the $250 prevention of those drivers on the road, such as treatment and all that sort of thing? Why is that a legitimate or the proper use for the funds to that they're not a penalty?
As I see in my brief, I know we're looking up to the brief, but they are a worthwhile program. I'm not going to detract from that any more than they money to the orphanage would be a good football program. However, it all comes down to where it's coming from. Is it voluntary? Is it not? Is the money designed to go to totally statement? And they don't call it paying for the funds to see if there is a state or a license. And as such, since it does not go at the time, at least when I filed this, my appeal, there was no money going for that reinstatement, and it was because of that I felt in my briefly that it was punishment, because it's not like so much, I know Douglas had mentioned somebody that it was $1,000, $5,000, and I know that the U.S. Supreme Court is not like bright line rule, so there's no fraction out there, there's no actual set amount of what's possessive and what's not. I would commit to $1 as far as not only for the purposes
of the money. If the funds went to the Beer Motor Vehicles to help pay for the processing of the reinstated license, you would find it to be constitutional?
Well, that was one of my arguments. Double jeopardy was my main argument. I also had that in my second argument, too. There was unconstitutional in and of that itself. I would still put out to the court that it's unconstitutional under double jeopardy.
Just because they have to take somebody to pay it to get the license.
Counselor, in the Court of Appeals opinion, they say we find Gustafson Supra as well as Kurth Ranch Supra prohibit the state from charging two reinstatement fees arising out of a single criminal conduct. We're only talking about one reinstatement fee, aren't we?
Well, at this point, there are two reinstatement fees. At termination, as soon as the person pleads guilty or no contest and found guilty, then they must pay the reinstatement fee just for the initial license.
Did your client pay that?
As far as I know, he did.
And how much was that?
$250 for the initial license.
Okay. Now we're talking about the $250 to get reinstatement, aren't we? And didn't the General Assembly say there's only going to be one payment?
As of, I think, October of this year.
All right. So the fact is that we don't have any real active case or controversy before us with regard to two reinstatement fees as they decided it on, because there aren't two reinstatement fees today, are there?
Well, as far as any future cases, Your Honor, I'd say that you're correct that any kind of what that legislation may involve, we are in a
process of preparing a case for the court.
So they're behind your back, right? They did that.
So there's two, yes, so there's two things here. One, it would be an advisory opinion to an extent, and two, I suspect there'd be a massive application for refunds. Okay, so what if we let you win and made our decision prospective?
Well,
and we really haven't done a lot. We just recognize what the law is. Okay, I understand it now. Let me ask you one more question. When a lawyer doesn't pay his taxes, he or her doesn't pay their taxes, and they're convicted of a felony, we enter an immediate order of suspension. After it goes through the rest of the procedure, and it comes back to us for reinstatement, we charge a $500 reinstatement fee.
I would say that's purely administrative.
And that's what their argument is here.
Well, that's
purely administrative and justifiable.
Well, I believe that that shows itself as a completely separate civil action as an institution of major.
Well, that's why I gave you the conviction of a felony as opposed to missing a statute of limitations or doing something else that's for the disciplinary process that isn't criminal. Interesting thought, isn't it?
And U.S. Supreme Court has stated, you know, what is the penalty? I mean, what is the criminal penalty? They have noted that in the present case, comes out of the state, and the justice even goes into a concurrent theme with different opinions in it, like death, that there can still be a punishment noted as civil, but however, still be a sentence of fighting. I think part of the hard lesson is that Halper still recognizes that if what's fine is punishment is political or something with a civil matter, then that's not called criminal. Furthermore, if we follow the
the advice of our opinion. We'll take three reasons.